All right, let's take our book of Acts. We're in chapter 24, like we had from last week. And we stop down to verse 15. Those that are listening to us, you can give us a call. I'd like to hear from you. Simply call us at 856-261-9018 and let us have a question if you have, or comment, or just say hello, or give us an email at biblequestions@bftbc.org. Questions@bftbc.org. Well, we stopped at verse 15, but I think we should pick it up a little bit, verse 14. Let's read 14, 15, and 16 if we can tonight. This is a background, starting with verse number 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. All right, where is Paul at this chapter 24? What city is he in?
Caesarea.
Caesarea. And what is he answering? What is he talking about?
He's talking about the...
What is it?
Talking to Governor Felix.
Governor Felix. And why was he brought before Felix? Who brought him there?
The Jewish Council.
The Jewish Council brought him before Felix. The main man, the
Claudius.
Lysias, the chief captain. He had several men that came with him. Of course, he had this orator, Tertullus, who gave his plea. He was a prosecuting attorney, you might say. But notice it says there in verse number 14 that we mentioned last time, he believed all the things were written in the law of the prophets. Paul was a believer in the Old Testament, and even though these Jews were here that are against him, it says in verse 15 actually verse 14, the way which they call heresy. Who's the they refer to there? The Jews call heresy. And what do we say heresy meant?
A holding.
Certain holding that was contrary to, sometimes it's holding that's wrong. Normally we call it a bad holding, holding against the scripture.
Deviation
from the truth, what we would defer. So worship by the God and the Father, believing in the law. And then in verse number 15, what did Paul believe here? What is his statement of belief in this verse 15?
Hope.
Just hope in the resurrection.
Resurrection of what?
The just
and the unjust. Two resurrections. Who's going to take place and take part of the just resurrection of the just?
Believers.
Saved people. And what resurrection will that be? What do we call that?
There's
what is it?
We have the rapture.
That'd be the rapture.
Well, we also have the resurrection before the millennium with the Old Testament saints.
Old Testament saints, that's
and
true.
And the tribulation saints.
Tribulation saints. So there's a number of just the people that are saved.
Several resurrections. Well, one is at the end of the millennium.
That's right. And now, the resurrection of the unjust, when will that take place and who's involved with that one?
The unjust is judged at the end of the millennium.
End of the millennium, the unsaved people. It's very important.
Second death.
Pardon me?
The second death.
The second death, that's right. Those that are lost, and that's called the second death.
Yeah, we're studying that.
Yes, we're studying that in prophecy. That's right, we're studying that in prophecy.
Yeah, okay.
Then it's verse 15, they have hope toward God, which they themselves allow. Hope. What does Paul say he believes in verse 15?
Pardon me?
Heaven.
Well, we already took that, the resurrection. Now, do all the Jews that were there agree with Paul on that?
No.
Who didn't and who did?
Sadducees
were sad.
Sadducees denied the resurrection and spirit. And what about the Pharisees?
The Pharisees believed it.
They believed in resurrection, that's right. So, now verse 16 is where we come for tonight. And herein, what does the herein go back to? Herein, what does the herein go back to in verse 16?
The resurrection.
Probably the resurrection, all right, the resurrection of death. And his belief toward that. I exercise myself. What does exercise mean? Oh, excuse me, Tammy.
Could it go back to the way in which they call heresy?
Yes, it could be herein in this way. And what is the way he's talking about?
Could go back as far as worshiping the God of my fathers.
Could be the worship of the God of the fathers. And if it's the way, what is the way? What does that mean?
Jesus is the way.
The way of the truth and life, Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian way, that's what it's called, the way, many times, the Christians versus the Jews. So herein, in that way, exercise must. What does exercise mean in this case? Push-ups?
No.
Pull-ups?
No.
What does exercise mean here?
Discipline.
Discipline, all right. Is it easy or is it more, takes a little bit of effort?
It's hard.
And he exercises himself in two areas. What is, first of all, it talks about a conscience. What is a conscience?
Right and wrong.
All right. Two Latin words, con and skill.
With knowledge.
With knowledge. Known, skill is knowledge there with. Knowledge along with something. And what does a conscience do if it's rightly working?
It'll tell you when you do wrong.
Okay, Trish?
Convicts of sin.
Convicts of sin. It tells what's right and what's wrong. It prompts you, if it's said, to not do the wrong and to do the right. If it's working, do all people have consciences that are working?
No.
No. What happens when a conscience doesn't work?
You do things that are wrong and you have no warning.
No warning and no problem. The people that are sinners today, I wonder what their conscience is like. I wonder about the ISIS that are beheading people and cutting off heads and killing. Wonder what their it seems like it's seared with a hot iron. What happens when a conscience is seared with a hot iron?
Can't feel anything.
No feeling. No feeling at all. There's so many people. I think the people around this country, even in the United States, just regular people that commit all kinds of sins, adultery, and fornication, and homosexuality, and murder, and all the other thievery, seems like their consciences are not operating either. Mm-hmm. What is the basis of a conscience, if it's working, to tell us what's the right? What's the foundation?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit through
the Word of God.
The Scripture has got to be the basis. Now, people don't understand and believe the Scriptures, but they have any standard for which to operate with their conscience.
No.
They don't. You see, do people all agree with the scriptural morality? No, they don't. If you don't have a morality standard, they can do what? What did the people in the day of the judges do? The last verse, section, several verses of the judges.
Do whatever they
that's
want
right
to do.
That's right. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's seemingly what we have in our country and all over the world many times.
Killing babies today.
Killing babies, abortion, murder. Do they consider it murder these days?
No.
No, but it is murder, isn't it?
Mm.
That baby, that new life, killing off the baby. Now, exercise himself, strong, conscious. What's this void of a faith? Void meaning what? Oh, excuse me, Tammy.
About the abortion, there's so much deception by the left that the young people have no idea what reality is and what truth is.
Yes.
And that they're brainwashed in colleges and universities.
Yes, yes,
and a lot of the professors are very liberal.
Yes, yes. Bill?
Yeah, on the same subject, a lot of women are also taught in the world that the baby that's growing within them is part of their body. It's not a separate life. It's part of their body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to them to decide if they to save themselves by killing the baby. It makes it easier on them. They don't stop and think, that's a separate life.
Right.
God has entrusted me with that life.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than bring it to term and bring the baby into the world, they've decided they're killing a part of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Anna?
Once the child is conceived, from a genetic standpoint, the cells of the growing child are no longer identical to those of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And because at the moment of conception, you have an entirely new genetic organism.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, Bill.
So you can't say...
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Anna.
You can't say...
Continue.
You can't say it's my body because it's
right.
It's not. The cells are not the same. The DNA is different.
Different.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, Bill.
DNA.
Even when the baby is born and is outside of the mother, because the baby depends entirely upon the mother to be fed,
mm-hmm.
To be taken care of, I wonder sometime down the road, some people are going to think that, well, it's their right to kill them then, too.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to say where we're going.
Obama, when he was a senator, voted to have after the Oliver won't kill him if he wants to. Yes, yeah. He voted for that. It's horrible.
Awful.
When he was a senator in Illinois. Yeah, Trish.
At approximately 4 weeks, with a very simple sonogram, you can see that the baby is totally separate and only connected to the mother by the placenta.
That's totally at 4 weeks. That's good. Yeah. How many babies do we kill in this country per year, roughly?
They said that as many people that are in Canada have been killed by abortion.
Oh. Yeah. You know how many?
A million.
What is it?
Over a million.
Yeah. 1.5 million. Years ago was the figure. Maybe 1.3, 1.4. 1.5 million murders. Now, this murder, is it not? It's a crime. You kill a life, it's murder.
A year.
Every year.
A year.
1.5 million a year. Yes, Anna.
Which works out to about 3,000 per day.
That's good. That's mathematics. Quick.
Well, I already had the statistic memorized.
Oh,
was
very,
it mathematics?
Oh, very good.
300,000,
is it? Per day? 3,000 per day.
Considering that's been going on for 38 years now, that would put it in the range of around 50 million.
50 million
plus
murders.
Plus or minus a few million.
What is one of the commandments in Exodus 20?
Thou
shalt not kill. Murder is horrible. Yvonne, did you have something?
No, I'm taking my sweater off.
But the way the hand was over, I thought.
I know my sweater was up there.
I shall not take off your sweater. All right. Just joking. All right. So notice, it says the conscience, void of offense. Void meaning what?
Not having it.
Not having it. What is offense? What does that mean? An offense.
Putting a stumbling block.
Stumbling block, okay. Now, toward two different groups, what are the two groups that he wants not to have a conscience? Any offense toward? First
God
is God, and the second, man. God and man. Now, which person, which party, God or men, know whether our conscience is offensive or not offensive?
God.
God only. How? What is his attribute that tells him that?
Omniscience.
He's all-knowing. But toward men, do men know whether our conscience is void of offense? People? Human being?
Well, not other people, but we know.
Yeah, but the people outside of ourselves,
no.
They don't know. And so do some people hide their conscience and hide their what they're really thinking? Is it possible to hide what you're thinking?
Yes. Mm.
Yes, you can have all kinds of offense, but he wants to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Which is more important, void of a conscience toward God or toward men? Which is more important? Toward God, that's right, toward God. So that's a difficult. He wants to exercise. He wants to keep strong with this thing. It takes an exercise. It takes a continuous type of an action for that. Well, let's read verse 17, 20. Let's see, 17, 18, and 19 together. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. All right, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment or ask a question. So in verse 17, he's talking about his trip to Jerusalem. How did he come up there quite often in verse 17?
Yeah.
No, many years. And why did he come?
To give alms and offerings.
To my name. What does alms mean?
A gift.
A gift, or a gift, all right. And what else? Offerings, alms and offerings. So that's the purpose of his coming. You remember they were saying he was blaspheming the temple and he was all those kinds of things, bringing heathen people into it. Then in verse 18, what happened when he was in the temple? Who found him there? Who objected to him?
Troublemakers.
Troublemaking. Troublemaker Jews from Asia. It's interesting. Purified in what sense? What do the Jews have to do when they, before they enter the temple?
Wash and things.
Had to be washed, to be pure.
Yeah. Purification.
Purification as the temple. But what was not true that they charged him with in verse 18? What was not true? What did he not bring with him?
That he didn't bring uproar.
He didn't bring uproar, that's one thing. What else, the second thing?
Political uproar.
That's right. Didn't bring them all. They did a whole bunch of people. They charged them. All kinds of people in there to defile the temple. He didn't do it. Yes, Tammy.
Previously, I think they said that he brought Gentiles into
yes.
the temple.
Yes. And so he's answering that charge, and rightly so. He's trying to say honestly what happened. Then verse 18.
No,
excuse me, verse 19. Yeah. Okay. Verse 19, pardon me. Now, what does it say about these Jews that charged him falsely?
They should have been there earlier.
They should have been there before thee. Who's the thee referred to? Before thee. Who's the thee?
Lysias, right?
What is it?
Lysias.
Well,
Lysias.
Not about Lysias, but who's
Paul? Lysias was the captain, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Felix.
Felix, right? Felix. That's not Felix the cat, is it?
Felix the cat.
No, no, he's lovely. He's got a name. All right. He's before Felix, the governor. He's a governor, wasn't he? There in what city was he in? We never did answer that.
Caesarea.
Caesarea, I guess we did earlier. Before Felix. Who ought to have been before thee, Felix, and object. No, excuse me, Tammy.
Is that referring to the 7 days that he was there before the Jews came?
Yeah, there in Jerusalem, you mean?
No, in Caesarea.
Well,
I
don't know.
Five days.
Let's see.
From 5 days.
He says his
5 days. After 5 days.
After 5 days. Uh-huh.
Agrees from the elders. Okay.
All right. So now it should have been for the and object. And what sense is that word in a court of law like this?
Bringing objection.
Objection. Over objection of what was said. If they have aught. Against me, all meaning
anything
at all against me. They should be there. And they weren't there, so that's interesting. Did we read, did we stop at 19? We didn't read anything. Did we read 20 yet? Did we read 20?
We're ready for 20.
We didn't read 20. Okay, let's read 20, 21, and 22 together. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. Why verse 20? If they don't come and object, what should these that are right there present, these Jews that came with that lawyer, what should happen to these that came here? What should they do?
Where are we?
Pardon me?
Where are we?
In verse 20.
Okay.
In other words, they didn't come to object, but he says, this, those that are here, did the orator Tertullus come alone?
No.
No, there were other Jews, didn't say how many, but there were some Jews that were there. And so when he says, the same here, let them say, what do they want to find, first of all, to bring up the objection? What do they want to find in verse 20?
Well, he wants them to present whatever evil.
Any evil doing. That's right. Well, I stood before the council. In other words, go back to Jerusalem, the council, if there's any evil that I said or did or whatever, let them come and tell about it. And if they found any evil. Then in verse 21, he admits one thing. What does Paul admit in verse 21? That might have caused difference of opinion.
Because he brought up the resurrection.
Brought up the resurrection.
To defy them.
It's one voice. He defied. Who? Which group did he defy?
The Sadducees.
Sadducees. Touching the resurrection, I'm calling a question by you this day. Now, is there a resurrection or is there not?
Yes, there is.
What two resurrections did he mention?
Just and the unjust.
And there's just and the unjust, there's all everybody, but in the just, there's three or four different phases of the resurrection of the just. So, but to those that are we're right with the Lord, and so that's the objection that they had against him. He stands this one voice, I touched the resurrection, I called in question by this day. So that's why they brought him up there, because he fought the resurrection, the people that denied the resurrection, he was against the Sadducees. And then in verse 22, what about Felix? What do we learn about Felix's understanding of things in verse 22?
He had a good knowledge of the Jewish.
Yes, perfect knowledge of.
That way, was that referring to
What way does he mention that? What does that mean?
The Christian
way. The Christian way.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord Jesus. I remember the whole heresy, this way, the way that was mentioned earlier in the chapter. And so he had a knowledge of the way. He knew what the gospel of Christ was and what the salvation meant. More perfect knowledge. He deferred them. What does that mean? Deferred.
He put them off.
He said, okay, let's just wait. When is he going to start in again? According to verse 22.
After Lysias.
Lysias, the chief captain. Now, he's the one that was, what army was he with?
The centurion. He was the head of the centurion.
Head of the centurions with the Roman army. When he shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. What does that mean?
The completeness.
Completeness. Why? I don't know why Lysias wasn't there to start with. But he didn't come. Maybe he thought that was, didn't need be needed.
I guess he thought his letter was sufficient.
Maybe he thought the letter was sufficient. He wrote a letter. But Felix was very, very wise. He did not want to leave out anything that was evidentiary. He wanted to have all the evidence presented. And this Tertullus probably didn't bring everything that he should have brought or could have brought. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted this Lysias chief captain.
Well, he didn't have much.
Probably didn't have much. What, about 9 verses, wasn't it? Something like that.
Well, but I mean, they didn't have a real case against
him. It wasn't
Paul.
A real case. The case was the resurrection. And what did some Jews want to do before Paul would even get up here?
Kill him.
Wanted to kill him. How many were there that
40.
Pledged? 40. And what was their pledge? What did they say?
They weren't going to eat until
they killed him. Did they kill him?
No.
Did they eat?
I don't know.
Not in scripture. Not in scripture. But we assume that they broke their vow and they ate. All right. Did we read 22?
Yes. Yeah, we finished 22.
Oh, we'll go 23, right? Did we start 23? Did we read 23 yet?
No.
Let's read 23, 24, and 25. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." All right, in verse 23, he commanded a centurion. Who was a centurion? What's that mean?
A soldier over 100.
A soldier over 100 men from Centa, right? Centa is 100. Captain over 100 men. Centurion. What was the centurion to do?
To keep him.
Keep in what sense? Keep.
Guard him.
Guard and keep, make sure he doesn't get away. But what was allowed him?
Liberty.
Liberty, what does that mean?
Freedom.
Come and go.
Come and go. People come to visit him.
People
or
come
to visit
his acquaintances and minister, come unto him. It's amazing that centurion gave him liberty. People could come and visit. Was he in solitary confinement?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Not yet.
So this was a wonderful thing. It was honest, because had he been found guilty as yet?
No.
Yeah. No. So he was really sort of like a free man, but he was kept because they had to continue the case when the centurion, the Lysias, the chief captain would come. That's a wonderful liberty to have. And then in verse 24, what did Felix come, how long before Felix came back to see Paul?
Certain days.
Who did he come with it? Who came with him?
Drusilla.
What was her nationality?
She was a Jew.
She was a Jewess. And what was probably Felix's nationality?
We don't know.
But
he was a Roman.
Probably a Roman, because he was an officer in the Roman system. And when it specifies that she was a Jewess, sort of it made a contrast. If both of them were Jews, then you, Anna.
But was he a Roman from Rome? I mean, because Paul was a Roman, but
you're right. He's a Roman citizen. That's
Tarsus.
Right. That's right. Well, it's hard to say, but I would imagine that seeing he was an official, a governor, probably Romans would be governors would be on the Roman level. But we're not told. You're right. It's not told us. Yes, Dan. You had something?
No.
Okay. Now, so he came with Drusilla. Why do you think he brought his wife?
Because she's a Jewish, and she might have a deeper understanding than he would.
She may have a deeper understanding of things. What else, Mom?
Maybe they traveled together.
Maybe they traveled together. After certain days. So you went yet, Tammy?
Well, she probably knew about Jesus and the crucifixion and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So maybe she was had some interest in what he had to say.
She wanted to see what Paul was all about, I'm sure. See what
I'm
he had
sure
to say.
She had heard of him.
She had heard of him. He sent for Paul after he got to Caesarea for a few days with his wife. And what did he do when he sent for Paul? What was his interest in verse 24?
In the faith of Christ.
He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Why do you suppose he wanted that information?
He's really curious.
Curious? And it's interesting.
Yeah.
Because did the Pharisees want to have his comment about the faith in Christ? No. The Sadducees, did they want it?
No.
Well, they didn't care. They wanted just to kill him and do something to have him tried. He was concerning the faith in Christ. It's important desire, isn't it?
Maybe he was under conviction. Maybe
under conviction.
Maybe he had an interest in it.
Interest. In fact, in verse 25, he reasoned. What does that mean, he reasoned?
He was trying to persuade
him.
Thought about it. What three things did he reason about?
Righteousness,
temperance, judgment to come. He knew that there's going to be a time when he would die, and there'd be judgment to come. And what was his... Yes, Tammy.
Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come.
Oh, maybe it was he. Instead of,
and as he reasoned.
And as he reasoned.
Felix.
Yeah, Paul heard him concerning the faith. He sent for Paul and heard him. I don't know. I don't know. It seems
it
like it's Felix.
It says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled.
Yes, well.
And answered. You don't answer unless somebody's speaking.
It's possible. But the way it says he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ.
Oh no, I'm in verse number 25.
I know, but I'm trying to get the background. It seems like it could be Paul, or it could be Felix. I guess I have to flip a coin.
Would Felix know my righteousness and temperance and judgment?
Good point.
Well, if he knew the way, a little bit more about the way and about Christ.
How could Felix answer himself? I mean, I suppose it's possible, but
Well, maybe it was Paul, because it's go that way, so he's talking to Paul when he says go that way, so maybe it was Paul. It seems the context is difficult.
A reason has to do with logic.
Logic, that's right. Whether it was Paul that reasoned righteous, repent, temperance, and judgment to come, or whether it was Felix. What was Felix's emotional reaction to this?
Trembling. He was fearful.
Why fearful? And what was his reply to Paul, if it was Paul that said this? What did he say?
Go away for this time.
Go away for this time. What did he say he might do later?
I might talk for later. A convenient time.
Is there ever a convenient time for one who needs Christ and is lost?
Never.
Never convenient. But you see, it's sad, isn't it? Convenient time, I will call for thee. Then in verse, you have read 26. Let's finish 26 and 27. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, 26, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. And after 2 years, Porcius came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So, what did Felix hope for?
Bribe.
Bribe. That's strange, isn't it? He's interested in the way, he's interested in Christ, the faith in Christ is there. He wants money. Did Paul give him money?
No.
No, he didn't bribe. Is it right or wrong to bribe somebody?
It's wrong.
It's wrong. He hoped the money.
He should have known Paul better than that.
He should know better than Paul. Remember that verse in 20, verse number 16, a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Now, if he accepted a bribe, what would that do to a conscience?
Tarnished.
It would be tarnished, wouldn't it, before God and before man. And so he didn't take it, convenience season, that he might lose him. In other words, if he'd given some money, he would have let him go. That's something. And he might have told Paul that too. And Paul said, no, I'm not going to do that. Wherefore, what happened then? What does the wherefore mean? Why is that in there? Wherefore? What does that tie into?
Because, I guess.
All right, in other words,
because of that, which is
before, we wanted to bribe and might loosen. Maybe we want to try him again for another bribe, see? Wherefore, because of that, didn't give it to him the first time, maybe he sent for him the oftener. Back and forth, and back and forth, maybe told him about the bribe, and the bribe, and the bribe, and the bribe. Yes, Tammy?
Do you suppose that he listened to Paul anymore? Tell him out the way?
I think he was thinking of the money rather than the way.
Well, I know he wasn't thinking about it because he obviously didn't. He didn't accept the Lord, but you know, but at least it makes you wonder. Paul, I'm sure, would have wanted to keep on pressing the gospel to
him. That's right. Then,
like you said, Paul didn't stop witnessing just because Felix was after the money.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
That's enough to slow him down.
That's sort of the offer and commune with him. So in other words, he talked with him. Felix talked with Paul, even though Paul was a prisoner and he was the governor, see? So that's interesting. Do normally judges talk with the prisoners? Do judges come out?
No,
normally they don't. I mean, they just go to their office and with their big black robes and leave. But yes, Tammy.
He was kind of a special prisoner, though, because they, number one, he was a Roman, and number two, everyone knew that he hadn't done anything worthy of incarceration.
Yes, yes, and in fact, he would have loosed him if he just got a little money. So he knew that it was so communed with him often. And then after 2 years, what happened in verse number 27?
Porcius Festus took over.
Porcius Festus came. The Felix room, it must have been a big room.
What
does that mean? In his space, in his office. He took the office.
Well, is there 2 years between verse 26 and 27?
Apparently.
Or between 25 and 27.
Yeah. 25
so during
and 27.
These 2 years,
mm-hmm.
he kept hoping for money, but Paul kept talking about the gospel, probably.
Probably so, that's right.
Yeah.
So the tourist came into Felix's place, room, but that means place. And what did Felix do when he knew that Festus was coming? In verse 27.
He wanted to make the Jews happy, so to see Paul bound.
He left him bound. Paul, if you give me the money, I'll loose you, but you didn't make any money, so you're still bound. What's he bound?
For 2 years, was he bound?
Well, after 2 years, he must have been.
He had liberty.
He had liberty.
He was in 2 years, and then he was bound at the end of 2 years,
right.
It sounds like, when Porcius Festus showed up.
Excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
A lot of times the soldier would go with him. He could go where he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
He could have a home to stay at.
Uh-huh.
But the soldier would have to be with him.
The centurion to take care of him, to keep him, to guard him, so he didn't get loose. We're going to stop there, but you have this book, Pastor Dan?
An old-fashioned ankle brace, but the soldier comes along with you.
Could be the ankle brace. Okay.
No, instead of the ankle brace, they have a soldier come with you.
Soldier comes with
you.
Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, Lord willing, we'll take up chapter 25 next Thursday. So, Brother Dave, would you stand and close in a word of prayer? Would you please, sir?
Dear Lord, we thank Thee that there was a way for men to come to God through Jesus' blood on the cross. And we thank Thee for being able to study this together and to have a better understanding of all this. And we thank Thee for what You have done in providing salvation to the whole world, and that there are missionaries and that there are people who proclaim the word all over the world. And we pray that You would bless each one, and we pray that You would go with us, Lord. We need Your help, we need Your strength, Lord, because we are weak, Lord, and we need You so very much. And I pray that You would bless the weights in proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. And I pray that You bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.